The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect that of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And that's what I'm talking about. We're back. You know when you hear that dope soundtrack, you know, I coming back on right now. We're setting up a line of communication with the chairman of the Board of Elections, Rema Williams, out of Grove. They don't call Grove Place the Mecca. That's what he don't call it. That's what they don't call it, check. Well, we don't got a good conversation now. We're going to be talking about what we're dealing with right now. Of course, you know, the early voting started last week. I believe it was Monday, October the 5th. And it's going to run for 21 days, a full 3 weeks. So today is day number 8. And we got 13 more days. It's going to end on Sunday, October 25th. Okay? So for those of you who don't want to deal with the rush of election day, which is Tuesday, November the 3rd, you can early vote. And I did that for the first time ever in the primary. And I'm going to do it again in this general. So for those of you who don't want to deal with the November 3rd regular election process, early voting is in effect. And it's my understanding that the chairman is on the line. Good morning, Chairman Williams, out of Grove. What's up?
Good morning, Doc. Nicholas, everything good?
Everything good. You know, for those of you who don't know, we call each other a number of different names. He calls me Nicholas. I call him Nehemiah because we had the good fortune. This is like a level transcended down, right? From data on both sides, Senator Patrick Williams and Senator Randall James, right? In the 60s.
That's a fact.
Right? So check this out. I want to get this housekeeping out of the way, right? Your dad served 65, 66? That was the 2 years?
63, 64.
Okay. Yeah. In 66, they passed a resolution, because I think your dad, Vaughn Hodge, had given me the scoop. After he served as a senator, he transitioned to the executive director.
Correct.
Right? Vaughn Hodge is the one who told me the whole deal, because you know, he's Vaughn Allam is big Democrat, and they believe in Crucian leadership. It got a percentage of St. Tomian, right? That had like the fieriness of the Crucian them. And your father, he said your father was one of them who is in a back in dunk, St. Craig had to get ours. You check? And then in 66, that's when they passed the resolution that created Virgin Islands Puerto Rico Friendship Day. 1966.
Correct.
Yeah. So that's what we had, and today's Columbus Day. So I want to extend happy Columbus Day to you and the people them in the Mecca, in the village, down in Grove.
Thank you for that.
Georgia?
We coming up shortly, you know, this year. We're going to do that activity virtually.
Of course.
Unfortunately, but we're going to do something. You know?
Yeah. And for those of you who don't know what he's referring to, I will now yield the floor to Chairman Williams as he relates to the event that typically takes place on November the 1st, which happens to be a Sunday in 2020. The floor is yours as relates to Bowl and Bread, Mr. Williams.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for that. Just as a quick segue, Liberty Day, better known as the Hamilton Jackson Day, and to some still known as Bowl and Bread Day, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to carry out the activity that we've been doing for the last almost 100 years in the fashion and the pomp and circumstance that we've been doing thanks to COVID. But it is still our intention to do something virtually where we have a series of speeches and stuff like that, which will be pre-recorded prior to. Every 7 years of this activity, it falls on a Sunday. And as a result of that, the holiday is celebrated the Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So this year, the literal celebration virtually will happen on November 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
It's always the day before, 2 days prior to election. So this year, you'll be able to see it streamed. We're still working out the details with Government House and the different media to pull something together. You know, there's a dynamic young lady that I've tapped to do, not a guest speaker. You know, we're doing something a little different. I've asked her to do a perspective on what it means, what media and communications mean today versus what it meant then, and to do a contrast of when D'Amazon Jackson went to the then Danish West Indies to get that right for our community, for laborers, freedom of the press, and the different pieces that we enjoy today without fail, you know, and when it comes to labor unions and stuff. So she did a contest with the delegate last year, had won it. We were supposed to do a presentation for her, but that didn't happen. But I reached back out to the delegate to get her information, and I've been communicating with her mother. So that is going to be the perspective that she's going to be bringing outside of hearing from me and governor, lieutenant governor, delegates, and the president. So, you know, it's going to be a shortened activity. It's just generally going to be some historical and some living the day and the time. But we're going to put it on for sure. Unfortunately, my people, we're not going to have any bull and bread. And we're going to have a tatty this year. That's the unfortunate thing. And we won't be celebrating in Grove. So I don't come to Grove. Listen and look out for it in the media. So the people that would like to come and set up to sell, don't come and try to sell, because there's no activity going to be happening in the Mecca on November 1st or the 2nd.
No,
so that's a quick announcement on that.
Is there any way that on November the 2nd, because that's going to be a local government holiday.
Correct.
Because, you know, we had a number of holidays back in the late 80s that we took off the schedule, right? Organic Act and Hurricane Thanksgiving and Hurricane Supplication, right? But one of them they definitely wasn't going to touch or even consider touching is Liberty Day, because the whole territory would have burned. We wasn't having that at all, right?
Not if they wanted an election.
Not if I like that. That's right. That's number one. Number two, right? Number two. For those of you who don't know, November the 1st cannot be an election day, because the election is always on the first Monday after the first Tuesday. So in years when the first Monday in November falls on November the 1st, the election is November the 8th. You check, because there has to be the first Tuesday, and the first Tuesday would be November the 7th, if in fact November the 1st were to fall on a Tuesday. So now that we've gotten that homework out of the way, and of course, you know, there's a tie into elections anyhow, and that's the reason why you're here today. Can we get you on in a double capacity, at least for 1 hour on November the 1st, probably the first hour of the show between 8 and 9. If you want, we could incorporate some Liberty Day in your appearance, because I know you said you're doing things virtually. Can we get you on between the 8 and 9 o'clock hour on Monday, November the 2nd?
Certainly.
Okay. We'll work out the logistics and get you on, and we'll do the recognition, because, you know, D. Hamilton Jackson is a great, great, arguably one of the greatest Virgin Islanders ever, right? And we taking that dung. And by the way, I just wanted to know that he originally came from Christiansted. Okay, I don't want to rub that thing. I know how to do a thing dung in Grove. Okay, but he come from Bass. What the place name? What the word be, man? Western suburb.
Yeah,
Western suburb. Okay, so I wanted to know that. I like to talk about your own thing down there. D. Hamilton Jackson come out of Christiansted. Okay, Bazen. Okay, so.
His work, his accomplishment.
Yes.
We're
out of the Mecca. Okay, so we could share something now. Okay, we're good with that. Okay.
I can share, you know. We ain't like that. We ain't
raised like that. I agree with that. Okay. Yeah. Now, you are here in your capacity as a chairman of the Board of Elections. We are 22 days away from the actual election date. However, voting is going on as we speak, even today, on a holiday, right? To the public about early voting that was legislated in 2014 and has been going on in elections subsequent to the legislation being enacted in the 30th legislature.
Correct. So before I just a quick question, the young lady that you were just speaking to, Ms. Thomas,
yes,
you have a phone number for her?
I can get that for you, and I will text it to you without a doubt.
Okay, great.
Yeah,
yeah, because I like what she's doing, and I have some ideas there as well.
No, correction, anyway. correction. We love what she's doing. Not you like. We love because you and I know this is ingenious stuff we're talking about here.
Yes, sir.
Given the COVID circumstances, and when our young people stepping up and want to be entrepreneurs and educators at the same time, we have to support them. You know, if ands or buts about it. So I'm glad you spoke to that. The floor is yours, sir.
Thank you. So anyway, let me start out by saying thank you for the opportunity. I'm trying to do as many rounds as I can because without information, people are left in the dark and blind.
Mm-hmm.
I want to start by talking about safety.
Mm-hmm. Before you do that, I want to get some housekeeping out of the way so that nobody ain't blaming you for nothing. Can you recognize all of your board members right off the bat to get that housekeeping out of the way so they don't say you're coming on and as a cheer and all that stuff? Can you do to the best of your ability at some point, if you don't want to do it now, at some point, get a list and read off all of them? Can you do that?
Yeah, but just as principle and as policy, the chairman of the board is the person that represents
or
speaks on behalf of.
Correct.
You know, people can say what they want. I've been accused by one member. One of your good friends, them, I was one of them.
I know.
But because when they had the turn, they didn't do anything.
Exactly. You know?
So,
I know. That's why I think I don't know, but go ahead. The floor is yours, man.
Yeah. So let me start with the safety portion of it. You know, because of COVID, the direction that the organization has gone in is all about safety. I just want to let all the electors know that are going to participate in early voting or on election day, that when you show up to the polls, please wear your mask. That is optimum. You have to wear your mask.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, the process is that you show up, you wash your hands outside. They'll issue you if you don't have the proper mask. If we still have in stock, we'll issue a mask. But what will happen is that you wash your hands, you'll go into the queue. They'll register you through the e-poll. You will, but before I even go that far, let me start with the fact that we're using what are known as voting centers this election. We're segueing into a new paradigm, which is consistently used across the U.S. And a voting center just represents a location where multiple precincts, polling places are housed. That's what a voting center represents. So you'll show up to the voting center, wash your hands, you'll be sanitized. You'll go in a queue, like I said, to be registered through the e-poll book. They'll give you either what's known as the activation card, which you will, a blank piece of oblong-shaped paper that you use to cast your ballot on the express vote machine, or for those who prefer to mark an actual ballot, you have a choice between those two. Whichever choice you make, they will direct you to either a voting station where you can mark that ballot, or they'll direct you to the express vote machine where you'll insert a blank piece of paper, your ballot will pop up, you have to enter, and it's very imperative that people understand if you use the express vote machine, you have to pull up your correct voting precinct. So if you vote at Ricardo Richards or whatever, you got to make sure that when it prompts you to identify your precinct, that you do so. We have monitors that will be there to assist in case people aren't sure, because they'll give you the blank piece of activation card in a folder. That folder will have the name of the precinct. So then if you're not sure, the monitor can help you to make that single selection, and then you're good to go from there. We don't want people registering or pressing or punching in the wrong precinct. So we want to ensure that in order to have accuracy in the canvassing, that we have the correct voting precinct. So you will go through that process. You will cast your ballot. You'll make your selections on your ballot, whether by express vote or on the DS-200.
Mm-hmm.
From there, you'll be directed to the DS-200, where you'll literally cast your ballot. At that point, you'll have a monitor as well if you need assistance. The monitors are instructed and trained not to, you know, you have a sense of privacy, so they can stay outside and direct you how to insert your ballot or your activator card. Once you have done that successfully, you'll be sent to the exit clerk, at which point the exit clerk will write down your name and next to your number, and that is the way we track who came in and who went out. Those numbers should generally jive. Okay? If you had any problems in registration, if you were, let's say an extreme example, let's say if you were a felon, a convicted felon, you had done your time, you served whatever probation and all of that, and you came back to the system to vote, to re-register. If you were re-registered and for some reason you didn't show up, in any instance, bottom line, no voter will be disenfranchised. Every voter will be allowed to vote. If you are not in the e-poll book or in the power profile system, you'll be given a provisional ballot. So you can vote provisionally. I mean, we've been tested on this thing on numerous elections where people think they're brain big and they go and vote in Frederick said, and then got Christian said. I said, well, I went there, but they sent me up here and I didn't vote there. Or either they'll take an absentee ballot and still show up on election day to vote. So this system will recognize because you're tagged, you're flagged at every point. So if you applied for an absentee ballot, whether by walking or mailing, the system automatically flags you.
Let's be very clear there because we're heading towards our first break. That practice or that action is a criminal act. If you know that you've participated in early voting and want to show up on election day subsequent to participating, that is criminal. And that is subject to prosecution, fines, and incarceration. So let's make that clear to the public, okay? So pretty much what you're saying is all of the preparation logistics are in place for those who participated in early voting, and that has been set up by the election system.
Yes, the early voting is managed by the Office of the Supervisor, not the board.
Not the board, right. Correct. So that's a Carolyn Fox administrative process taking place, correct?
Correct. But we still, as her boss, we still oversee election period.
Yeah,
we monitor the process.
Okay, good. You hear the music in the background. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. What we're going to do when we come back, for the second segment, we're going to continue what we're talking about, but we're going to focus on where the precincts are going to be opened.
The
voting centers on November the 3rd. Okay, so we'll knock that out. Analyze this on a beautiful day in paradise, Columbus Day. And we got Raymond Williams out of the Mecca, chairman of the board, joining us here this morning. We'll be back right after this.
Situation continues to evolve. The Department of Tourism is encouraging every Virgin Islander to heed the guidelines and recommendations issued by our local and national public health officials. These steps are being taken to protect all of us so that we can be healthy, strong, and resilient during this difficult time. Keeping our community safe is our highest priority. We are looking forward to a bright tomorrow, but we must do the right thing today. Be encouraged, as this too shall pass.
The Department of Tourism thanks you for your cooperation.
Let's be prepared this hurricane season. Put together an emergency supply kit. This kit should include water, non-perishable food, a first aid kit, a manual can opener, hand sanitizer, face coverings, and other supplies to last for at least 10 days. Your kit should be personalized for you and the needs of your family. Always include prescriptions, medical supplies or equipment, and backup batteries when necessary. This message has been brought to you by the Virgin Islands Department of Health. For more information, visit our website at doh.vi.gov.
Tune in to Conversations with AARP Virgin Islands. Listen and watch to get news and information on upcoming events, as well as informed conversations with agencies and community organizations.
On WTJX-TV Channel 12, Fridays at 8:30 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m., Saturdays streaming live on AARP Virgin Islands and WTJX's Facebook page, Tuesdays at 11, and live 11 a.m. at 93.1 WTJX-FM, Conversations with AARP Virgin Islands.
And we are back here, analyze this absolutely gorgeous day in paradise. VIP Puerto Rico Friendship Weekend culminating here on Monday, October the 12th, 2020. And we got Rayma Williams with Akali. For those of you who don't know, right, our age group, our in the 50s, because we in the 50s now, his name is Padico. For those of you who don't know, that's what we do, Kali, Padico, right? And he's the younger brother of a black Chinaman named Rampu, right? Named Lindell, right? And they get all that, that eyes, that Chinese looking eye from the father, Patrick William Nehemiah. You check. So that's what we deal with. So glad to have you on. Chairman Williams, good morning once again, sir.
We can vacillate
from the local twang and start speaking formally again. The floor is yours, Chairman Williams. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I want to get to, you know, we spoke to some of the process for early voting and election day. Now, I want to segue, you like numbers. You're a person that like numbers. I want to first say that early voting started on the 5th of October. It'll run through the 25th of October. Early voting will run from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. every day for 20 days. The locations for early voting, excuse me, here on St. Croix, it's the elections office in Sun Yat. Now, for most people who know the election office to be over by where Sears Appliance Store is located, we have moved across into Sun Yat proper, into that huge complex, and we're now located where the former Sun Yat Theaters used to be, deep in that corner, in that, I guess that's the southeast corner.
Northeast.
Yeah, so that's where we're located now. So if you even were to show up to the old office, there are instructions telling you where to go. So don't get disenfranchised, don't get upset. You know, we moved to a bigger and better location. On St. Thomas, people voting in the St. Thomas district, the early voting is at the Charlotte Amalie High School at the gymnasium. Okay, and on St. John, at the elections office at Marketplace, suite number 2, third floor. So it's you know, we have those three locations. And now let me share some numbers with you, what excites me, because we projected, hoped for that people would utilize as much as humanly possible the early voting and absentee ballot process. So to date, as of yesterday, the 11th, in St. Croix, thus far, we had 727 people voted in the district of St. Croix. On St. Thomas, 787 people voted. And on St. John, 55, for a total of 1,569 people voted thus far. You know, the supervisor and I, though, I always have a little, you know, a little side bet, not a wager, but where she predicts and I predict, I think she predicted like, I think her number was closer to 4,500. I am looking, my numbers are telling me closer to 5,400. So, you know, we were hoping that the higher number prevails, because the more people we get that would have voted early would have helped us in the overall process. Now, in terms of absentee balloting, thus far for mail-out ballots, and this number probably is a little more, but these are the numbers I got from her as of October 6th. Mail-out ballots in the district of St. Thomas, St. John, 736. In St. Croix, 566. This is phenomenal. When we went before the legislature to get that amendment so that anybody could participate absentee ballot wise, it made a difference, as you can see. Generally, in the St. Thomas, St. John district, in the past, if you probably hovered around 400 ballots, and on St. Croix, maybe 150. But as you can see, this number is almost doubled in St. Thomas and almost quadrupled here on St. Croix.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's another 1,202. Yes. No, 1,302 absentee, potential absentee ballots, yeah.
Correct. So you still are looking at opportunities.
And that includes, the St. Thomas number includes St. John?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Good. Okay,
yes.
Good.
Yes. If you had up until October 3rd to apply for a mail-out ballot. But if you wanted to apply for a walk-in ballot, come into the office to apply for an absentee ballot, you can do so up until the 3rd of November.
No, I want you to stop there. Right? People would ask, and I know I interrupt you and I apologize for that, but
okay.
I apologize for that, right? People would ask, well, why do you need a walk-in absentee when we have early voting? However, the distinction is with walk-in absentee is you go walk-in, you have to have a legitimate excuse, you walk in and you go with the ballot as opposed to early voting where you actually vote at the elections office.
Correct.
Okay,
absolutely
good.
Correct.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
You don't.
That's the distinction.
Yourself.
That's the distinction.
Yes,
and
you don't need a reason, by the way. You don't need a reason. That is the law now is changing. You don't need a reason.
Oh, really?
Yes, you don't need a reason. You don't need any reason. You can just make that your choice.
Oh, so if I go to Early Vote today, I could go and tell them I want to walk with my ballot and bring it back.
Yes, you can go. You'll file an application.
Mm-hmm.
They'll give you a ballot package,
mm-hmm.
and you can drop it in the mail or drop it back to the office.
Okay, good thing, good thing.
If you're going to mail it in, it has to be in the mail by election day. We have 10 days to receive ballots thereafter before the ballots are uncomfortable.
November 13th.
Right, November 13th is the last day for the office to literally pick up ballots on a post office that will be considered applicable to be counted. We've had some problems, as you know, nationwide, where a lot of people were seeing issues with not even receiving the ballots. We had a few of those where some people hadn't received their ballots and either received it after the deadline. So this, for the general election, we made it clear, the board made it clear to the supervisor's office that as applications are received, ballots were being placed in the mail. The majority of the numbers I gave you, all those ballots were in the mail by September 28th. Okay, so
mm-hmm.
you had more than a month, over a month, almost 5 weeks to have received those ballots. What we advise people is if you applied for an absentee ballot and you don't receive it by October 31st, call the office so that we can either get a new ballot out to you. But always remember, you can only vote once. So don't, again, I'm warning and cautioning people, as you said earlier, it's fraud if you try to vote more than once. So if you don't receive your ballot by October 31st, call the office. There are some other opportunities that we can put into play for that process. So the numbers are looking good. I'm hoping that we do climax at least 5,000 territorially for early voting. So that way we'll be able to know that a large percentage of our population are voted. Now let's go to the next thing. I want to read off to you the vote centers by district and what polling precincts vote at these vote centers.
Correct.
Okay?
Yeah, go right ahead, sir.
So, in the District of St. Croix, the vote precinct, D.C. Canegada Recreational Center. At this voting center, Florence Williams Public Library, Pearl B. Larson Elementary School, Juanita Gardine will vote at D.C. Canegada. At St. Dunstan's Episcopal School, your school.
No. Be careful now. I won't just allow you to just say St. Dunstan's. Okay, let's make this crystal clear, right? Right? The world renowned, infamous Episcopal School on the island of St. Croix. Then you could go on to after that. Go right ahead.
So at the world renowned Episcopal St. Dunstan School, people who vote at Elena Christian Junior High School or Princess School, John H. Kennedy Housing Community,
JFK,
and Lumaco. Yeah. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Those three precincts will vote at St. Dunstan's on Election Day. All of these are only on Election Day.
Election in November the 3rd. These are the voting centers. If you normally participate in the election, participate in the election process on General Election Day, these are the voting centers where your precincts are assigned to, and this is where you go to vote.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So the third one is the St. Croix Educational Complex.
Mm-hmm.
Persons that vote at what is now formerly Charles H. Emmanuel, it's now the complex because
mm-hmm.
Charles H. is no longer precinct.
Mm-hmm.
People who vote at St. Croix Educational Complex High School,
mm-hmm.
Alfredo Andrews Elementary School, Eulalie R. Rivera Elementary School,
mm-hmm.
Evelyn M. Williams Elementary School, and Ricardo Richards Elementary School. Five precincts will be voting at the educational complex on Election Day.
Mm-hmm.
In the West, Claudio Marco K through 8 school, you have Claudio Marco Elementary
mm-hmm.
and Alexander Henderson Elementary School. So those are the five vote centers on St. Croix, and I broke them down by precinct.
Compromising 13 actual precincts.
Correct.
Right? Right, 13 precincts in total will be participating in the process at these four voting centers.
Correct. Absolutely
okay,
correct.
Okay, good.
In the District of St. Thomas, the vote center is the Charlotte Amalia High School Gymnasium.
Mm-hmm.
We use the sprung shelter for the primary,
mm-hmm.
but because the department needed to have that back, we're back in the gymnasium at Charlotte Amalia. And who votes there? Precinct, CAHS Gymnasium,
mm-hmm.
the Oswald Harris Court, Winston Ramos Center, and Joseph E. Sibley Elementary School will vote at Charlotte Amali High School Gym. At the University of the Virgin Islands Sport and Fitness Center,
mm-hmm.
vote center, we will have Ola Muller Elementary School last names A through L, and also M through Z. So everybody that votes at Ola Muller, where it was separated in the past, everybody goes to UVI for that.
One lick Kildick at UVI.
Correct.
Okay.
Including Ola Muller, you have the Gladys Abraham Elementary School
mm-hmm.
and the Adelita Cancrine Junior High School. So those are the University of the VI Sport and Fitness Center is a location for those precincts. On the east end, you have the Bertha C. Bushalter Middle School.
BCB.
And,
mm-hmm.
Right. And the precincts on the east are the Ivana Eudora Ken High School, Joseph Gomez Elementary School, Bertha C. Bushalter Middle School, and the Charles W. Turnbull Library. Okay, so at BCB, you have four precincts, okay? On St. John, we have two vote centers.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if I got on the south, we're in Red Hook, the Julia Sproul Elementary School, which is right up the road from Red Hook.
Yeah.
People that normally vote at Julia Sproul Elementary School will vote at that location. And on the northern side of the island, at the Calabash Boom Community Center, persons that vote at Guy Benjamin Elementary School will vote at that location. So I've just highlighted to you all of the vote centers and the precincts. If someone missed it, they can go on our website, they can look it up, or they can call the office and find out where they're going to be voting.
They could just call Analyze This at 340-718-4555, 340-718-0761. And I gonna tear out this page that I just took this document here. So anytime I call, I'm gonna leave it right here so that my contribution to the elections board. Okay? Don't say never give her nothing. I gonna take care of her. Okay? I just tear out all the legal part. I got everything here. We got a total of 13 precincts in St. Croix at 4 voting centers. We have a total of 14 precincts in St. Thomas, St. John, 12 of which are on St. Thomas, and 2 are on St. John. And we got everything right here, okay? So we go to know, so I can and take care of you. Because one thing we want to do on this show, we ain't into the, well, let me check and see. I go, no. We want to make sure we get documentation. I got it now, okay? And we good. We got 4 voting centers on St. Croix. D.C. Canegata, St. Dunstan's, the Educational Complex, and Claro Marco. 3 right. On St. Thomas, the Charlotte Amalie High School Gym, UVI, and BCB, the Bertha Sibo Shelter, out in the eastern part of St. Thomas. And then on St. John, Julius Pro and Calabash Boom. Okay? So we good.
Correct.
Okay,
so,
good.
I want to segue to the next subject, which is always a contentious subject. It's called electioneering.
Mm-hmm.
And this is for the candidates in particular. We try to meet with the candidates every election for those that show up, generally 2%. The thing that really gets me going is that you're seeking elective office to be a lawmaker. And I was like, the majority of these so-called lawmakers are lawbreakers. Okay, because when it comes to electioneering, we try to set by law under what the law requires, a safe electioneering distance, meaning people who are running for office, who got people with placards and stuff showing out on election day, there is a setback. Now, the argument continues to be whether it's 200 feet or what it is. The law gives the determination to the chairman of the board, but I utilize the board in general because I have generally managed elections on St. Croix in this district only.
Mm-hmm.
But now that we're a single board, it is imperative that we do the same in St. Thomas and St. John. We got to maintain consistency. So we'll be looking at all the precincts on St. Thomas and on St. John to see, because demographics are different at almost every precinct.
That's right.
You know, a case in point, Charlotte Amalie High School and the complex. The complex, the actual polling precincts or the vote center, is located at least close to 800 to 900 feet away from the main road. There are 2 entrances to the complex. We ask you to stay back from those entrances, well, the main entrance, because that's the only one they really huddle around, by UVI across on the UVI entrance.
Mm-hmm.
Stay back on either side, east to west, and west to east, 200 feet.
200 feet, right?
Yes.
Okay,
and
good.
200 feet is not that far.
Okay.
The people who are going to be driving by, you're excited. A lot of people like it. A lot of people like the electioneering, the rah-rah. You know, some people going to vote are turned off from it. Some people going to vote are motivated by it.
We gonna, okay, what we going to do, right? What we going to do is pick up the conversation with electioneering, because as a former senator, this is a topic that I want to have a discussion with you about, because there's some things I think we could modify. Okay, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. So we're going to pick up the discussion with Chairman Williams for the Board of Elections right after this break, because we want to make sure that the public fully understands what we're dealing with. Back right after this.
At the Bank of St. Croix, we believe in the power of community. When nonprofit organizations are in need of support, we are there to provide financial assistance so they can continue to advocate for the causes important to our community. And now, when COVID-19 is forcing most businesses to close their doors, we are providing funding so they will not lose their businesses. At Bank of St. Croix, when you need us, we're here for you.
Tune in to Conversations with AARP Virgin Islands. Listen and watch to get news and information on upcoming events, as well as informed conversations with agencies and community organizations.
On WTJX-TV Channel 12, Fridays at 8:30 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m., Saturdays streaming live on AARP Virgin Islands and WTJX's Facebook page, Tuesdays at 11, and live 11 a.m. at 93.1 WTJX-FM, Conversations with AARP Virgin Islands.
You've already discovered that this NPR station is an excellent source of news and entertainment, but did you know that this station is a nonprofit? Public radio is for the public, available to all free of charge. That is possible thanks to people just like you who give what they can to support open access to information. So thank you for listening and for making all of this possible.
You can donate right now at WTJX.org.
Census 2020 USVI is winding down. Have you been counted? Please do not be intimidated by the process. All of your information is protected. Federal funding for roads, healthcare, education, and more depends on your participation. Get counted today at Census 2020 USVI. And we are back here today, and I apologize for not dropping that earlier, and I'm going to drop it again to end the show as well. Good morning again, Mr. Chairman. How are you?
Nicholas.
Yes, Nehemiah.
We're talking about electioneering.
Yeah.
And I was highlighting, you know, I just use a complex as an example. Now that we're going to the Immaculate Episcopal School to use it for this purpose as well, that is another major thoroughfare. And again, the entrance to that location, clearly you cannot go within the boundaries of the road. You have to stay on the roadside.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not advocating for or against, because that's not what I swore an oath to do. I'm just saying, it's time for safety's sake. Any senator or candidate, let's use the word candidate, that is going to have people out on the streets, please meet with your poll workers and get them to understand that safety is job one. You know, things like people cussing each other because you had 10 and I got one. You know, you set up your tent the night before, somebody come and move your tent. Those things have nothing to do with the board or the office of the supervisor. That's on the candidates. We will have law enforcement, however, to enforce these distances. You know, as the day gets older, you normally start up pretty good in the morning, but as the day gets older, then there's when they say everybody crossing the boundaries. You know, I've had to personally run people at the complex, literally run them out from in coming down and inside the location, and they won't get pushed back. It's incredible, you know. But the establishment of electioneering distances will be marked clearly with signage at all of the vote centers. So you know from the day before you can't go within these boundaries. You know, people like to tell you, oh, well, we're only going in the parking lot. You cannot go in a parking lot. You have to maintain that distance that is marked. All of them may not be 200 feet because you don't have, like a guy gave me a joke the other day, in some parts of Sinamas, if we got 200 feet, we're going into the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, but we'll be as realistic as humanly possible to ensure that, you know, we protect the opportunity for electioneering, but at the same time, protect the electors' right to have free and clear access to the polling or the vote center.
Now, let me bring a perfect example. This is the one polling place that I got a problem with. How could electioneering bother somebody at a Juanita Garden when the people were electioneering up on the main road going into Christiansted, right next to when you're heading east, you're passing Garden to get to Charles Howard. You're heading west, you're passing Garden to get to Golden Rack Shopping Center. Golden Rack Shopping Center, right?
Yeah.
To me, people on the road there, electioneering, they aren't close to the. To me, I think the 200 feet shouldn't be the entrance for the polling place or the voting center. It should have been the door. You check what I'm saying? But don't get me wrong. No, I respect everybody's position. Nobody likes being harassed because practically your mind is already made up when you're going to vote. You follow what I'm saying? So I understood that. Me and Senator Sanders, Senator Sanders was a big advocate, and he was a sponsor of the legislation for this. Right? I understand what people are talking about because there were those who really overdid it. We could agree on that, right? Right, the chair?
Absolutely.
Right? There were those who overdid it and were faced at the term we the dictionary term is they were brazen in how they used to walk up to you and try to practically impose themselves on you, right? The Jamaican term, they used to say the people them were too feasting in, can they up in your face? You check, they're too feasting in. So I fully understand that part, but Juanita Gardeen, Alexander Henderson, where you come along the road, you drive them because you're going into a parking lot, and you know we never used to allow an electioneering inside the parking lot to begin with. You check what I'm saying?
But here is the opposite side to yours. Okay. For instance,
give me the counter.
We're transferring that problem from Juanita to your school, right?
Yes. Yes.
You can be up on the main road. You can set up there. We always find people trying to pitch a tent.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
To sit down to school.
Yeah.
They want to go into the driveway.
Can't do that.
That is illegal. You cannot do that.
No, I agree.
So, you know, you got to be smart in how you set up your stuff. There ain't much room up on that roadside because in a land there is only brush for the better part. I know that they were doing that project on that road in the back. There's some areas over there. But you cannot broach or breach the road.
But don't get me wrong, all this pontificating I doing, right? I believe in the rule of law. If the law say you can't do something, you can't do it. I don't care how much you think you're wrong and your constitutional right, your civil liberties, the law is the law. We have determined electioneering is in place. You can't broach or breach the parameters, right? That's the term, right? The parameters, that's, yeah. Correct. So that's what we're dealing with. And I just got a text. I just got a text from somebody very, very important. We're not going to name her name now, but I think by saying her, I think we know who we're talking about. She has confirmed that Julius Bro, 200 feet is in the sea.
Right.
Yeah.
And I get that.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, we'll make as best convenience as we can. Mm-hmm. But to ensure, again, the safety of the electorate going to vote so that, you know, because some people will, contrary to popular opinion, there's a lot of people that don't like people bothering them. You've seen it in your life.
Of course.
You driving into a precinct. I've seen it in Grove where a man put a car in park and come out and look to drive off it. And a guy
trying
to stick any car.
Mm-hmm.
You got to look at that. And again, to the candidates, and this is to the candidates, it is your responsibility to ensure that the people working for you are not breaking the law. Because see, you, we coming after, not the people on the street, you know. And some people get so fancy, they won't bring DJ, grill, and all kind of thing. Remember COVID? Remember social distancing? All of those pieces are in play. This is not normal election time. This is not normal time. But let me move on to something else that I know you're going to like. Statistics again, some numbers.
You know that. Bring the data. Bring the data. You know me.
Our time is running out. Mm-hmm. I just want to share with you, which I think is key for candidates as well, but just for the general public's information. In the district of St. Croix, listen to these now. Male registered voters, we have 10,995. Females, we have 14,599. Of those numbers,
what the 10,000 number again? 10,000 what?
10,995.
Mm-hmm.
That's male.
Mm-hmm.
Female, 14,599. Total registered voters in St. Croix, 25,594. 25,594.
Mm-hmm.
Let me make it a little more interesting for you. Of both populations by age, 45 to 65-year-olds
mm-hmm.
are the greatest voting population.
And we there right smack dab in the middle of that, me and you.
Dead in the middle.
Mid-50s, yeah.
And the second highest is people 66 years of age mm-hmm. and older.
Mm-hmm. So 45 and up is a majority of where our voters
of who vote.
Right now, a
total of about almost 50% of mm-hmm. the total registered voters
mm-hmm.
that vote are in those two age groups.
Wow.
And then coming in third would be the 25 to 44 year. And of course, the 18 to 24, they don't show them.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping to change that. Because of 25,000 registered voters, only 1,700 of our youth between 18 and 24 in the Sacred District showed out to vote.
17,000 out of 25,000. 1,700 out of 25,000. That's less. That's less than 10%. That's about 6-7%, somewhere around there.
Thank you.
Wow.
So, important numbers to me. Mm-hmm. In the St. John District,
mm-hmm.
you have females, 1,152 registered voters.
No. That number wrong. It's a bigger number. Female is how much?
St. John.
Oh, St. John. St. John. Yeah, you said St. Thomas. Okay, my fault.
No, St. John.
St. John. Okay.
1,152
mm-hmm.
female.
Mm-hmm.
Males, you have 1,075.
Mm-hmm.
For a total of 2,227 registered voters.
Mm-hmm.
Again, of those of that population, interesting again, 45 to 65 is the number one voting group. 66 and above is the second, and then 25 to 44 voting age comes out third.
Mm-hmm.
Again, in every district, 18 to 24 is always the least people
mm-hmm.
In terms of age that turn out to vote. You have 111 young people, millennials, out of 2,227 that show up to vote in whatever form of voting.
Maybe 5%.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In the St. Thomas District only, of the male population, you have 10,979
mm-hmm.
okay, registered males. Females, 14,489. And I'll try a little quirk for you, because we have what is called a category. We use the word none. I know any meaning. They ain't registered male nor female. We got 10.
Mm-hmm. I got a good joke for that. They ain't identifying with agender.
Yes, sir.
Mm-mm.
And that is doable. That is possible.
Mm-mm.
That's their right.
Mm-mm.
Okay? So you have in St. Thomas District
25,468.
78,
yeah?
78,
because
we're going to the 10.
Oh, the 10. No. We got 25,468 plus 10.
Yeah.
Plus 10, yeah. That's how they want to be recognized. They want to recognize different. So they can't be in a big number. They want to be a separate number. So this 25,468 plus 10. Yeah. Wow.
And here we go again. Of those numbers, the 45 to 65 age grouping, you got 9,800 people.
Wow.
66 and above. 7,500, 25 to 44, 6,400, and again,
young people
bringing up their ear, you got 1,500,
mm-hmm.
more or less.
But
so, I know you like numbers.
I like this because this tells me, right, that we need to get our young people involved in the process. That's all it tells us, you know, and it also tells us that the elderly people have a greater appreciation for how valuable. Right? Listen carefully how I can word this. How valuable the ability to vote is because of how infrequent you get to do it. That's why it's valuable to them. We only get to do this every 2 years or when there's a special election. You got to go out and take advantage of this, man. This is crazy. The notion that you go in there to get, you're registering to vote, right? You get a voter ID and the only thing you care about is I have an identification card. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But let me move on as time is running. I just
mm-hmm.
want to touch on the subject of canvassing and votes.
Yeah.
You know, we've had some challenges at the primary especially. But the simple process to it is that an election night at 7 o'clock, we will begin canvassing of early votes at 7 a.m. Those are that will allow the judges time to get to the office with the at-poll election day count.
7 a.m. or 7 p.m.?
7 p.m.
7 p.m., okay.
Once the polls are closed, we can legally start counting. So we're going to start that process at 7 p.m. I'm telling my members, please be on time, because we're going to start the process as long as we have at least two or three members, because it takes a while to populate these numbers. And if we get more than 5,000 people, it's going to take at least a half hour to populate the numbers and to tabulate them. So hopefully by 7:30, 7:45, we should be able to release the numbers for early voting. The second phase of canvassing will be at poll, at precinct vote. That's people who vote literally on election day. By the time all the judges are in and the tabulations are done, that will be the second wave of information that we will release. We will shut down for that evening and then begin the following day in the afternoon to count in what are known as absentee mail and walk-in votes. We will be counting provisional ballots. We'll be probably remaking any email ballots that come in for UOCAVA. And again, UOCAVA is for people, overseas voters, like people in the military, people that work for the State Department. And we do have a few of those, by the way. Okay, so it's not something to take lightly. Can't disenfranchise anyone. So those will begin the day after, in the afternoon at about 5. And after that day, we're not going to be releasing that information. We will reconvene about 10 days on that 10th day to complete all of the ballots that come in by mail. Okay, anything that's walked in would have been more than likely handled the day after election, but we will reconvene on the 10th day, which is the 13th of November,
to certify,
to complete that process. And hopefully we'll have been done with everything. Everything would have been in. Whatever is in is what is going to be counted. We will certify the election maybe a day or two shortly thereafter.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Thank you very much for that contribution today. I appreciate it. Been very, very helpful. We're going to get you back on again 2 weeks from today, right?
Good thing.
And in the first hour, too. Well, knock that out. Remember, let's make that specific. In between 8 and 9, okay? We'll get you on then.
I also want to take the opportunity to say thank you to the election staff and to the election day officials and to the members that participate, that come out to work. Not them there who don't work.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Census 2020, USVI is winding down. Please do not be intimidated by the process. All of your information is protected. Get counted today at Census 2020 USVI. Okay? Please do not be intimidated by the process. Make sure that you're counted. Thank you very much again, Mr. Chairman.
Good too.
Good thing. Great show today on Columbus Day. We were grateful to have Ronnie Russell, Ms. Julissa Thomas, and Raymond Williams joining us on what is this local holiday? VI Puerto Rico Friendship. We're good. Talk to you tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect that of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.